When you're getting back into your busy fall routine but still want to make every breakfast count, try Blue Apron's new ready-to-cook meals that offer your favorite fresh quality ingredients ready in minutes. With 60-plus options each week, you can choose from an ever-changing mix of high-quality meat, fish, vegetarian, WW-recommended, and health-conscious offerings. Get a $100 gift card, plus enjoy $130 off across your first six orders when you place an order by September 23rd. Visit blueapron.com/unique2022.
Hello and welcome to the Hit Shuffle Podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And I am your host, Dave. Welcome to episode 7.
Episode 7. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm not bad. There's a fucking fly flying around my head. All right.
Episode 7, back from summer vacation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, technically, yes. I guess you could say I did take a little summer vacation.
I mean, well, we as a podcast did.
That's true. Well, what did you listen to on your summer vacation, Dave?
I've been listening to a couple different things. I've been shuffling a lot.
Naturally.
But as I've been in a kind of old school pop punk, 2000s, early 2010s pop punk. Two albums I've been rocking a lot. The first one is Gospel by Fireworks.
Oh, Fireworks. I haven't listened to them in a long time.
Yeah, they came up on Shuffle because I had them in my library, but I hadn't listened to them. I forgot how much I liked them.
Yeah.
And this is their, I think, second full-length album when they kind of changed their sound a bit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
From the kind of generic pop-punk sound, but they've always been really good and really well-written technical songs and everything.
You don't need maps when you know where the sidewall cracks.
Exactly. And also, This Will Be the Death of Us by Set Your Goals, which is also, I believe, their second full-length album.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think I probably like Mutiny a little better, but they're both great albums.
They're good albums. I think Mutiny is better as a front-to-back album to listen to all at once.
Exactly. There's no skip songs.
Right. Well, the second one's like, oh, individual tracks here and there, but the first album was just, you put it on, you front-to-back.
Right. And I do want to specifically call out on this one. I don't know why I love it so much, but there's one of the songs called The Few That Remain has a feature by Hayley Williams. I don't know if you remember this. And she's basically like hardcore rapping almost.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. It's like a very hardcore music kind of sound. It's not at all like her normal thing. She's coming in like very deep voice and hard, and I don't know why, but it just clicks with me and it sounds great. What about you? What have you been listening to while we were off?
So, speaking of vacations, I did take a little bit of a drive down to Tennessee, so I was in the car a lot, which meant I went through a lot of different things. But one song I found myself coming back to a lot was a song, Ego Death, by Bus Driver, off his 2014 album, Perfect Hair. It's just a damn good song. It's a nice hip-hop song.
I believe you were showing me that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there's like Aesop Rock on it. It has the dude whose name I can't remember that has... I told you about that has 88 different features over the course of like five years.
Yeah. Under the circuit, I laid in five the night. I slip miniature monstrous between my cries and drives. Triple flavored crystals and the red, blue, and white stripes. While crowds throw numbers at me like the price is right. And downtime is never met with an overjoyed grin.
And then also being on the road. Had a lot of podcasts, which is a little bit different than what we normally do. But I have to recommend the Behind the Bastards podcast with the host Robert Evans.
That I know you've mentioned to me several times. I keep meaning to listen to, but I haven't got to yet.
Well, the one I'd recommend people start on, it's more of a recent one. It's a three-parter about John Wayne. It's called John Wayne, A Dude Who Sucked. And it's all about how shitty of a person John Wayne actually was. And it's just super interesting.
Yeah, because that's something you don't hear about very much in all the legends of John Wayne, is he was actually a dick.
Yeah, he was a horrible person.
Which a lot of, you know, looked up to famous people are, and it just never gets talked about. But, you know, it kind of should, because they're people, and if part of them is being a dick, then you need to talk about that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I've been listening to. And like usual, other than the podcast, you can find the songs on our Hit Shuffle podcast playlist. You can search that on Spotify, or you can find it on our website, hitshufflepodcast.com.
All right, Matt is up first this week. Let's get your roll and get to shuffling.
14. Let's see what we get. The Faint.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's out of left field.
Yeah, so that was the song Psycho by The Faint off their 2008 album Fascination with Double Eyes.
Yeah, makes it a little hard to search for if you don't know that.
I haven't listened to The Faint in a very long time.
Same here. That's one of those things that I just completely forgot about.
Yeah, it had to be added. When I went through originally, I went from probably one of either my old devices or my old hard drives, and just started adding bands to my Spotify playlist that were on my, you know, my old devices and stuff.
Yeah.
This had to have come from that, because I couldn't tell you the last time I searched out The Faint to listen to them, but I used to listen to them all the time.
I've got some stuff on there. I went through my old Last FM accounts.
Maybe that's where I saw
it. And I found some. I'm like, oh, wow, I totally forgot about that. But I'm like, oh, wow, this is a really good song.
Yeah.
And like, perfect example. Totally forgot The Faint was a band, and this is a bop.
It's a good one. It's one of my favorite songs on the album. It's also a really good album. When did you, or if you even remember, do you remember how or where you heard these guys?
I can't say for sure, but it would probably have been from you or you and CJ.
So it was actually probably either me or Marky C, because he's the one that got me into The Faint.
Yes, that's true.
So The Faint, they've been around for way longer than I actually realized.
1998.
98. That's insane. And not only that, they're also known as Norman Baylor at one point with Connor Oberst. Oberst? I've never known how to say his last name.
Oberst? I've always said Oberst, but I never was really that in the bright eyes. So
Me neither.
I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah, and I'm not the one to know.
But I did not know that he was in the band at the beginning, although considering that they're from Omaha and they started Saddle Creek, it's not surprising.
One thing I found funny and very relatable was their shift into making music. The lead singer and one of the other members of the band skateboarded in their free time until the singer developed knee problems. So they shifted their focus into making music instead.
I bet that sounds familiar to you.
Yeah, almost like that's almost exactly what happened with me. Except we were skateboarding and making music. And then I was like, I can't do this because everything hurts.
Ow, my knees and legs and back and...
My life.
I could just never skateboard to start with.
That's fair.
Norman Baylor is a great name.
It really is.
By the way, just to go back to that real quickly.
So we spoke of Saddle Creek earlier, which they were on for a while. But this was the first time they went off of Saddle Creek and released it on their own label called Blank.Wave.
Great name.
Which is actually a really great name. And it was also the first time in their career that they did everything themselves. They did the writing, the recording, the production, the art direction, everything.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool when I read that, because there's a lot of bands that don't ever put out anything that they handle everything. I mean, just...
Not to their level, no.
Yeah, the way the industry's set up, like, to be a successful band, you have to be on a label, and most labels unless you own the label want some kind of control.
Yeah, or they have people to do it.
Yeah. So to be able to just write, record, produce, do the art, put it out, everything just entirely as the band is a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it would have been a lot of fun to do, but also probably really fucking stressful.
Yeah, although I would say like 2008 would probably be a really good time to have been doing that.
True. But also at the same time, you don't have the benefits of things like Fiverr. Or you can just be like, I need a logo. Here's $20, which is very convenient. Another thing I found out about the band is their guitarist, Depose, I think is how you pronounce that, has a side project. That side project is called Werewolf Grave.
But you'd never guess by looking at it.
No, let me spell it out for you real quick. VVEREVVOLFGREHV. Werewolf Grave.
It's like Germanized? I don't know.
It's like, what was that? What was it? Witch? The movie that had the two V's instead of the W?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a great stylistic thing for what he's going for.
It matches the music.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's a great name for the project. And also what we were listening to of it was just absolutely insane.
Well, the description was combines death metal, speed metal, and the brutality of noise with, what was it, speed snare and IDM?
Snare rush.
Snare rush, that's what it was.
Which I had never heard of until I read it today.
Which we also listened to just to see what it was. And it's, you know, people just
making saws out of snares, essentially.
Well, yeah, well, which
saw synths, not like, yeah. They're not cutting wood,
not
with
wood
snare
saws
drums.
Out of snare drums. I mean, you could make one, but
I'd watch a YouTube video of somebody doing that.
There probably is one if we look hard enough. But yeah, into the actual song itself. It's pretty simplistic, honestly.
I mean, it's one of those examples of straightforward being good as long as you do it well.
Yeah.
And they did it well.
They did it well.
It's not overly complex and it doesn't need to be. It's just a great jam.
And it's also one of those songs that's one of my favorite things that people do is the happier, dancier music with the sadder, angrier, depressed lyrics.
The Motion City soundtrack.
The Motion City soundtrack, yes.
Very happy sounding music and some deeper, darker lyrical content. Speaking of which, with the lyrics, while it is a little bit of a darker subject matter, it's straightforward and relatable.
Very relatable.
But being well written. And I'm basically, it boils down to the song is about getting mad and saying something in anger that you don't mean and then being like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. I just got too mad though.
Literally apologizing for calling someone psycho when you got upset.
And I mean, maybe not specifically psycho, but I feel like pretty much anybody can relate to getting mad and having an outburst and a reaction that they later were like, oh, that's not really what I feel. I just got carried away.
I mean, because there's literally a line that was, I was just mad and feeling attacked.
Which, I mean, like I said, it's straightforward. It's to the point. Yeah. You don't, you know, song like this, you don't need to be overly poetic. It's, you know, straightforward.
Yeah.
Straightforward jam. Straightforward, like, I got mad. I called you a psycho. Probably shouldn't have done that.
My bad.
You know, yeah, my bad. Like, I thought that, you know, I was okay. And then I kind of stopped being mad and realized it was me.
Yeah. Which is a very grown-up thing to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, if there's part of it that's not relatable to everybody, it's the second
calming down part. Yeah,
the calming down and realizing that it was just your fault and you were entirely out of line and being able to apologize. Not everybody understands that part.
Right.
Everybody understands the first part.
Yes. Now, there's a little section of lines that I really like. It's, I know I must have stressed you out. I don't start fights. I make explosions. It'd be easier to just calm down, but I'm an asshole when I get called out. I know I must have stressed you out. I don't start fights. I make explosions. It'd be easier to just calm down, but I'm an asshole when I get called out. Forget the words I said. I was not myself. I never really thought you. I don't know what it is about that. Just those four lines. That stood out to me. Like that really, that really stuck with me.
That's the stanza that caught my attention the most the first time through.
I was like, oh yeah, that's
Because I really got the, I don't start fights, I make explosions. Like, wow, that's very vivid imagery. Yeah.
And this then song is a fucking mirror. Okay, I get it.
Like, I'm an asshole when I get called out. Like, hi, welcome to me.
You're an asshole when you don't get called out.
Just in general, yeah. But even more so when I do get called out.
You just layer it on. Now, with the lyrics being how they are, the music, I have it down as chipper music with a dancey feel.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very
my
bouncy.
My first sentence in my notes is the song has a really good bounce and groove to it. So we went to the same place with the bounce, that's immediately, you get that and you start nodding your head and tapping your foot and you can't really stop until the song's over.
And that intro synth, just the simple back and forth that it does with that off time hit.
Yeah, it gets your attention even before the rest of the instruments come in. You're like, oh, that's a pretty weird, cool sound. And then, boom, it's a bop right in your face.
And speaking of the other instruments, the synths that they use, they layered them very, very well.
It is. It's a really good atmosphere. Yeah. I mean, and you wouldn't really necessarily think of atmosphere in a song like this.
Yeah.
But, sonically, it really is, the way that the instruments and the synths are laid out.
Yeah, I mean, they have, and there's multiple synths in there, but they don't sound like they're multiple synths. It sounds like they're actually all coming from, one place.
Yeah, occasionally, there's a little bit at the beginning and I think at the end where they kind of separate and do a little bit of different things.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you realize,
oh, wait, this is different. This is multiple instruments going at the same time. The other thing was that the guitar sound that's in there sounds like it's on a little bit of a, for those who are into the effects and things like that, a bit crusher.
Yeah, it's
a digital distortion, as it was.
It's subtle, and I didn't really notice it at first because the guitar is not really the most prominent thing.
It's not.
In the mix or in the songwriting. So it took a couple listens before I got down the list to...
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the guitar and that at first I thought it was just kind of that simple clean with a little bit of distortion, what I would say is Vampire Weekend sound from that one Vampire Weekend song with the riff, sounds like that. But then I noticed there's something more to it than that. It's not just a little bit of overdrive, there's something else there.
Yeah, put a little stank on it.
Exactly.
Yes. And then the bass, I mean, the song is really the bass and the synths are your main focus for the instruments. And the bass, the little crunch that they put on that bass made it a little grimy.
Oh, yeah.
It fits perfectly in there.
The tone of the bass, it is a very grimy bass. And it's a little bit of a different bass sound because it doesn't necessarily have the roundness that a normal bass rather than a synth bass would have. And especially with the tone to it. But it goes really well with the other instruments and still fills the bass area.
Yeah, it fills that window of the bass frequencies. Is that what you were trying to say?
It fills up your ass. It
fills up the ace of the song.
I also really like the way that the bass flows throughout the song with the drums. And how in the verses, it has a little bit more of a pulse to it. It's kind of like a 2-3 notes with a pause in the middle. Yeah. And then when you go into the chorus and the drums kick up, the bass goes into a more steady eighth note.
It kind of hits a groove.
Yeah, and more into a flow instead of a pulse. And it's just a nice, subtle dynamic. So you feel a different, little bit of a different swing between the verse and the chorus, but it still is consistent and it's not a jarring transition.
Yeah. It's very... as we tend to say every episode, has a good flow.
We just...
I need a fucking thesaurus.
We do. Well, we keep landing on the same things, and I guess that's just the things that we both tend to notice and feel about songs.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising, since we've been listening to and playing music together for so long, we're going to notice the same things. Also, we just keep getting songs that have good flows to them, really.
Because that's all I listen to, baby. All right, well, that was the song Psycho by The Faint off their 2008 album Fascination.
Nice little bit of a different twist than what we've been getting recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's really starting to show the depth of the playlist there. So we're going to take a short little fiver, and we'll come back to Dave. All right, and we are back. And it is Dave's turn to roll the die.
All right, let's see what I get.
For the listeners at home, Dave went to roll the die into the nice dice tray we have and completely missed. That was glorious. And then his headphones fell off.
The worst part is it landed on 20.
Oh, man.
But it's not in the tray.
Not
so
in the tray
count.
Doesn't count.
God, I'm crying and laughing so hard. Fifteen. Wow, one off of yours.
Yeah. Poser.
See what we get. Here we go. Dumb Market Travesty by Houseboat.
Nice.
I actually just mentioned Houseboat a couple weeks ago on my currently listening to, and I've still been listening to him a lot. So get to talk about that a little more. Alright, and once again, that was Dumb Market Travesty by Houseboat off the 2009 album The Delaware Octopus.
That's a good song.
It is. Houseboat has actually been one of my low-key favorite pop-punk bands for probably the past decade since I discovered them. And there's just something about the whole Houseboat, which is really the Steinways slash the Ergs sound.
Yeah. Slash Off With Their Heads slash Dear Landlord.
All of the many great bands that these guys have been in, which is, that's kind of its own subject we'll probably touch on in a minute.
Yeah.
But it's just like straight up.
It's pop punk.
Pop punk. Like I was going to say old school pop punk, but it doesn't really have that sound. It's like a slightly more modern take on the old school pop punk. But
I would call it like the Hopelessly Devoted to You compilation pop punk.
Yes, yes. It's like
a drive-through pop punk, like that style of
an alternate path that pop punk could have taken, because I feel like this was like the lesser known path that it took.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Wonder Years, 4 Year Strong, easy core, hardcore influence type thing kind of blew up more.
Yeah, wait, people try to get more complicated instead of keeping it simple, and this was kind of the split.
I love the Wonder Years, 4 Year Strong, and all that stuff, but this is, it's...
But this is, you know, give me a handful of chords and some palm muting and maybe an octave chord here and there, and I'll listen to that all day.
Exactly. I almost want to say it's just really simple straight up, but there is a little bit more to it when you sit down and listen, even though they're kind of seemingly straightforward pop punk songs, just, you know, your drum beat and some power chords and stuff. But then when you start listening, and this song is a good example, it's not always just simple, straightforward rhythms. There's some parts in here where there's palm muting, and instead of just being your standard like 2-4 snare hits, it's kind of got off rhythms where there's repeated hits in the middle of the measure that are on off beats. It just kind of spices it up enough.
Yeah.
That it gives it an extra layer of being interesting rather than just straight, you know, measure, change the chord with nothing to it.
There's enough changes to make it dynamic for what would be considered a simple song. I mean, it's a minute and 25 seconds long.
Right. I mean, but it feels like a whole song.
Yeah, it feels like, a three and a half minute pop punk song.
It feels like a full pop punk song, but it's condensed down into a minute and a half, and you do kind of have the multiple transitions, and despite the very, shall I say, loose song structure that these guys employ, where there's not really chorus verse type thing that you're used to. It's just kind of the song.
Yeah, you're not doing verse, chorus, bridge, yeah, chorus,
there's,
outro.
There's not a lot of repetition in these songs because it kind of just goes straight through a thing once and it's over.
Which I also think is why these songs are a minute 25, because they're not just forcing parts in that don't need to be there.
Exactly. And there are a lot of pop punk songs over the years, especially as the style became kind of stale, where it's just like, wow, they could have like lopped off that last verse and chorus.
Yeah.
And the song wouldn't have lost anything, and it would be easier to listen to because it would be 45 seconds shorter. So you're not wasting time repeating something just to make the song longer.
Yeah, you're not just trying to fill a time quota.
He goes through, he says what he wants to say, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just...
And
that's it.
What he wants to say is generally, girls don't like me, which you can't get more pop punk than that.
And that follows the trend on every other band that they're a part of.
Yes. Now, this album, including this song, was mainly written and sung by Grath Madden.
What a name.
Yes. Which is, in fact, not a typo of Garth. His name is Grath. And he was originally the frontman lead singer of the Steinways.
Who I like.
Who are a underground legendary New York pop punk band.
Yeah.
And he's always had this exact same songwriting style from the beginning of the Steinways on, which he describes his music generally just as shitty.
Which I love.
Yeah, I mean, there's no pretenses here. He's just like, I'm a guy with a shitty job and girls don't like me and I write songs about it.
Yeah.
And you can't get more organic and, fuck, what's the word?
Honestly, you can't get more punk rock than that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. You can't. It's just straight up like that's him. There's no polishing it. There's no embellishing it. He has a shitty job. He doesn't like his life, and he doesn't like the girls don't like him.
And here's a song about it.
Yep, and here's a lot of songs about it. Well, really,
yeah. Here's 45 songs about it. And if you don't like them, I honestly don't give a fuck.
Exactly, because he doesn't like most of them.
Right. I don't like them either.
Which, that's also kind of, I feel, I can relate to that.
Oh,
because
1,000%.
How many times have we described our music as shitty?
I 1,000,000% relate to that.
Like, somebody's like, what kind of music do you play?
Shitty. Bad. Horrible, horrible music. So there isn't a whole lot of information on the band.
No, I got most of my research from a review of this album and from a blog interview with Grath that I managed to dig up.
I found through a broken MySpace link, which I
that's always good.
Have a trend of finding for these things, that they're possibly from Flushing, New York.
Yeah.
and that they're on It's Alive Records.
Yeah, they're from somewhere in New York or
yeah.
Some of them are, anyway. I know from the interview I read that Grath moved to New York and then did the Steinways, and I believe he's still there doing Houseboat. I'm not sure with such limited information. I do know that in the interview he said that Houseboat... No, this interview was in 2013. There's not really much. It doesn't look like the band's very active at this point. But as of 2013, which was 4 years after this album came out, yep. He said the band played together 3 times a year and had only ever had 2 band practices in their entire existence.
That's just incredible.
So I'm thinking it might be like a long distance type situation. And since yeah. he does most of the songwriting and lyric writing himself, it's kind of like he gets everything down and sends it to the other guys and they kind of
jump into a local studio, put their parts down and send it back. Yeah.
So it's kind of sad that there has not been a lot of recent material from them.
Yeah, I really like this band.
Spotify is lying because there are 2 albums on there that claim they were released in 2021. Now, I don't know if they were re-released or Spotify just did the thing Spotify does where it says that when it's really when it was added to Spotify.
Right, I have seen that a few times.
But there has not really been much activity or material since the early to mid-2010s.
Or which, it's like Bandcamp, and it was released in 1979.
So
somewhere between 1979 and 2021, this album was released.
Well, I guess you know you've got a good underground punk band when you can't find any information about them, which
yeah, true.
We keep having over and over.
But yeah, the song itself, like I said, it's minute 25. I don't even know if you can call it a straight up pop punk song. It might just be a straight up punk song.
At like, this point, it's got like the sound of pop punk, but it, not, you know, the structure. As we talked about, pop punk is a very verse chorus, like
yeah.
very
kind of relies on structure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very, you know, this is the structure for a pop punk song. You kind of got like intro, verse, chorus, bridge, breakdown, chorus, you're done.
Yeah.
Basically, you might not have a breakdown, you might have a slow interlude or whatever, but so this kind of just cuts out the bullshit,
which I really
like. You just go through, you have a couple different sections which you can't really define as a verse or a chorus. It's just kind of like
they're different enough. Yeah,
this section and that section, you have some dynamic shifts like a full song. And there's a lot of little touches I like. Like there's a couple parts where there's guitar fills where it's kind of a little simple back and forth lead with the drums in between sections, which just sounds really good.
Well, that's what I have here. The part that is, I guess you could call it the last verse, where the lead line follows the vocal melody.
Yes.
I really like that. I like the way they did that. And then it goes back into the, just your, you know, the regular guitar part.
Which is what I was failing to articulate when we began this segment, where it is generally a very simple seeming straight up punk pop punk thing, but there's a lot of little details and touches that aren't super obvious, but they really just, that's what adds the quality and makes it just really good music instead of just really plain music.
Yeah, I mean, with the keeping it, you know, simple and short, he gets right into the song. It's a couple of hits and then you're there.
That's, you know, the Houseboat Steinway's sound.
Yep.
It's a lot of them are immediately like it. Just the vocals start from the beginning of the first measure of the song. You get right into it. And I know one thing that you love that we were talking about, which he does a lot, is the way he ends the song.
Where
it's just kind of just going, done.
Yep. Over.
He also frequently refers to that in the lyrics, like he does in this song.
Yes.
Where, like in this song, where the last verse, as we'll call it, basically, send, delete, defeat, retreat, better luck next time. I wrote this story so I know how it ends. And as soon as the word ends, the song ends.
Yep, no ring out, no fade.
Just
no, it's just
cut.
Last hit.
That was saying ends a lot in a very short amount of time. But it's just... Yeah, there's no, you just, boom, done, on to the next song, which has pretty much as abrupt of a beginning as that ending yeah. was.
But you know this, you know one song ended, and you know the next song started.
Which, it kind of goes along with the style and adds kind of a feel to the album that a lot of albums don't have, which some albums, it feels right that the songs flow into one another, and it's kind of a continuous experience. But with this this music, there's just something about like done, and then boom, right into the next song. It's just that hit that you know it's cut off and you're going into the next one, which is also very reminiscent of these small punk shows.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time it's just the band doesn't know what to say and you just go into the song.
All right, this one's done. Here's the next one.
Yep. We've done that many times.
Yeah. And then going back, I don't know, 20 seconds in the song. From that ending.
Halfway through.
The part that, I mean, you can really refer to it as the chorus if you wanted to, where it's just nice open strumming. There's the octave chords in the background. There's a really good, like, pretty much where the only real vocal melody is in the song. Because the other part's kind of just, like, up and down a note or two, which is...
Yeah.
I still like it, but...
It's sticking to that punk kind of not quite monotone, but
yeah.
almost within a note or two of the...
Yeah, it keeps it in a small little section. And then they have that, like, the call and response lines towards the end of it. That's just... I love it. Another room disaster, and it's shame, but who's to blame? There's also a lot of stops in this song.
Yes, it's very rhythmically dynamic,
yeah,
which adds to it. And it's amazing how many different feels and kind of musical or rhythmic things they can fit into a minute and a half.
Yeah, but what I was saying about it, though, so with the stops in the song, I don't know if you remember this song by Homegrown called The Stop Song. I know I've sent it to you before.
Yes.
This song has too many stops.
That's going a long way back in the memory banks, but yes. I do remember.
As soon as I heard like the second stop in the song, it just immediately kicked into my head because I love that song and I think it's hilarious.
This song has too many stops. This song has too many stops. And it's pissing me off. Some stops are short and some stops are long.
But these are done well. A lot of times you do get songs that are just like, oh, da-da-da-da, stop. Stop, like every section has a stop, but it still flows together.
It's not always even and predictable with Houseboat.
Yeah.
There's the stops, but it's not just like every four there's a stop. Yeah. They're in different places, and that really adds to the variety feel of the song. So once again, my song was Dumb Market Travesty by Houseboat off the 2009 album The Delaware Octopus.
All right, so that is it for today's episode.
Good variety of songs, I think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that you kind of had the punk rock song this time.
A little bit of a change up. I'm glad I finally got a little bit out of, I was kind of in a stylistic area,
kind of staying there for the most part.
So it's not, and especially a band that I like so much and I've been listening to for a long time, and I had just brought up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Which is pretty funny. But again, my song was Psycho by The Faint off their 2008 album Fascination.
And my song was Dumb Market Travesty by Houseboat off the 2009 album The Delaware Octopus. And you can find these songs as well as the songs that have featured on the previous episodes on the Hit Shuffle playlist on Spotify.
So you can find us on the various social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @hit_shuffle. You can also find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Hit Shuffle Podcast. We also have a website. It is hitshufflepodcast.com. It has links to all of that as well as the playlist, the show, and a few other things you can find us on there.
All right, and now it's time for us to give you your role to go and shuffle your playlist this week. We've got a 5. Go to your playlist, shuffle 5 songs deep, see what you come up with, and be sure to let us know on our social media.
And that's been episode 7. I've been your host, Matt.
And I've been your host, Dave.
Bye. Oh, dear Lord.
Do something competently for once. Oh my God.